Whatever is dying, let it die. Let whatever is dying die. Zechariah 11, verse 9. Our God can be so fatherly tender in his compassion, but also without mercy as an undisturbed judge in his sentence. Whatever is dying, let it die. But doesn't it say somewhere that the Lord has no desire in the death of the wicked, but in this, that he lives? And is not death itself the enemy of God, because it is the servant of Satan? Certainly. And yet God says here, by his prophet Zechariah, and he says it time and again by his revelation in the history of the world, and he also says it to the perishing people who succumb to the sword in these days of a world war. As a footnote, this meditation was written in October of 1915. Whatever is dying, let it die. There are times which by their daily speech illustrate cruelly and bitterly the reality of doom by their words of doom about the world. And that does not only happen in this time of world war, now that the world in satanic anger is divided within and against itself, but actually always, for there has not been a moment that death was absent from the world. Neither has there been a moment that peace, ultimate peace, was present on this grey earth. Destruction and misery are in its path, and thus it will remain. For even before August of 1914, it was a fact that there was war among men and animals, that fighting was in the blood of people. Wherever people are present, there is war, and animals also kill each other. Death is existing even in the clouds and seeks to devour us. And what do? We cry again and again that the God of peace will intervene in the rapidly increasing disturbances of war and of the chariot of the God of war. But God does not answer. He hears everything, sees everything, knows everything, and says undisturbed to the war and to us, let what is dying die. God allows death to continue. Are you wondering how that is ever possible? Just pay attention to the place where this word is written. We can find it in Zechariah 11, but it would not have been possible to find it in Genesis 1. This word is not a word of creation, but a sentence, a judgment that proceeded from an existing situation which then extended and maintained it. Indeed, the words themselves contain their own explanation. They do not say, it will die, and as a result of that fact, it is dying, but the other way around, it is dying, so it will die. Thus the circumstances which already exist are first described, and then the things that would follow. Genesis 1 speaks in a different way. There, where God speaks his word of life to call the world into being, he said first, let there be light. And then we hear, and there was light. Thus it continued. God first said, let there be, and then there was. First his word of creation, and then as a result the existing situation. Before God spoke, there was nothing. The creating God cannot say, whatever lives, let that live. For there was nothing alive outside of him. But all of Genesis 1 can in its reverse be summarized exactly in these words. And God said, let there be life. And there was life. Do you understand it now? Whatever is dying, let it die. Death is not God's work, for it is exactly the opposite of God's work. If death had been God's creation, the command, let it die, would have been mentioned first. But now it is mentioned at the end of Zechariah's words. Thus death was already present in the world when God let these words be heard. For this reason, death is not God's creation, but a product of the devil, the work of man. Be silent, then, you son of man, and be quiet. For even if God would repeat throughout all the ages, whatever is dying, let it die, and never, indeed, never, put an end to it, we still would have to cry out in a trembling voice, Be mindful of thy steadfast love, and deal with me in grace and mercy, I beseech thee. O Lord, thy statutes and decrees reveal, and all thy wondrous testimonies teach me. For is death not our work? Was it not us who brought the germs of death and decay, the seeds of destruction and distortion, into the garden of the world? And now those seeds have shut up and become weeds. Ah, no, even worse, they have become poisonous plants, bitter as wormwood, and stinging like nettle. Now our joy is gone, and we cringe when we have to eat of the tree of distortion, of the fruit of death. And then we arrive again at our doctrines, and we know that God is the designer, the inventor, the one who maintains the garden of the world. Then we want to blame God that he, the gardener, did not give a spruce tree for a thorn, and no myrtle tree for a thistle. We accuse God, but we forget that in Genesis 1, death is not mentioned in God's program of creation, and that therefore not he, but we ourselves carried the germs of death into our garden. And if we brought the evil of the weeds into it, can we then demand of him to weed our garden of life? Can we demand anything? Whatever is dying, let it die, says the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes, should be the answer of man. And then we continue to focus on that doctrine. Or, if you do not want to do that, consider the law of life, and you will know that every weed has a root. In this case, that root is sin. Death is connected to sin, and that root first has to be removed, otherwise no resistance will help, and things will remain thus, always and forever. Whatever is dying, let it die. Then a confession will follow, the acknowledgement of guilt. Then we know that we are like the Israel that Zechariah described. Human disdain of divine care was their sickness and sin, and also ours. And for this reason, God turns death against us as he did against them. But take note, a light is beginning to shine in the night of death. For where such a confession is made, God will return life, not as a product of ours, but as his gift of grace. Then he brings us to the cross of Christ, which overcame death and obtained peace. That is the place where we have to go, and it requires humiliation. But it is necessary, for by nature we cling to death, and it is difficult for us to deny our own work. Do you need proof? Not that long ago, a war sermon was published in Germany under the title Mars Consolator. That means, the God of war is our comforter. That was no lamentation about war, but a glorification of it. Behold, that was one of the most blatant expressions of the maintaining of one's own work. And that sinful self-maintaining is our inclination by nature. But Scripture knows only one way of escape, Christus Consolator. That means that it is Christ who comforts us. He brings peace and life. And now we understand it. There is a war among men and animals, and also the animals kill each other. Death is present even in the clouds and seeks to devour us. Where will mercy and redemption be? In thy bosom. It is because of us that what is dying will die. But it is for his sake that what has died will live, life everlasting.